Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah! Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah!
Yeah. Baby, don't make me spell it out. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Erin.
How are you?
I am exhausted.
I know. You said you had a hard day.
It was a hard day.
Yeah.
I felt like a run-through prostitute today.
They did?
Yeah, they worked me hard.
Dang.
In and out of cars.
Dang.
Up and down alleyways.
Dang.
One heel hanging from the foot.
You want some loving, honey?
Oh,
I think I would make a great prostitute, though.
But in what country? Are we talking like a French prostitute?
No, I'm an American girl.
Oh, okay.
I'm an American.
Like New York City?
Yeah.
Like you're on Law and Order.
1970s.
Oh.
Old school hooker.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my jam.
Yeah. The vibe, as they say.
What about you? I see you as an international. Amsterdam.
I feel.
Red light district in the window. I was going to say bonjour, but that's not.
That's not Dutch.
Do they speak? Oh, Dutch. I was going to say German.
Which I'm not even going to try. Oh, no.
Don't say German. Do you like a crepe with your lap dance?
It's a stroop waffle, first of all. Wow. You uncultured.
That's fine.
I would probably say some sort of European,
yeah,
more on the high end of things, I feel.
Escort.
Yeah. If okay. I had to.
Yeah.
In another life.
We support sex work on this podcast.
Yeah. Just be safe out there.
Just protect yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically.
So there was a follow-up question to the story you told in our very first episode about you getting hit by a car.
Yes.
So the follow-up question regarding the fishbowl comes from my mother, Cheryl.
Cheryl!
Cheryl was saying, well, what happened to the fishbowl? Did it break? And was there a fish, in fact, in there?
No. So, Cheryl, thank you for the question.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl.
I am a hoarder of home decor items. Like, bad. Like,
I know.
I will hoard. And so I was going to plant a terrarium in there. So it was empty. And it was giant.
Yeah.
And it was heavy duty. That fishbowl is still intact. I don't know where it is. It might be somewhere.
Seems like an odd thing to misplace.
I know. I might have gotten rid of it. I purged a lot when we moved.
Sure.
So I might have gotten rid of it. But okay. It was still intact, surprisingly. I was more broken than the fishbowl was.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. I had like a sprain.
Well, how do you know? You didn't go to the hospital.
I know I did. Okay. So no, let me clarify. So, cause people are going to be like, this idiot. So no, I don't think I finished the story. I got hit by the car. The guy didn't look at me.
Yeah.
And so then he finally did. I was on the roof of his car, like sure. A hula girl ornament.
Yeah.
And so then he freaked out. He pulled out. I was terrified and he's terrified. And then the other car that pulled out and witnessed was terrified. So it was a bunch of three scared motherfuckers just looking at each other. And so finally, I get up and the guy's like, do you want me to take you to the hospital?
Oh, so
like,
he did talk to you.
Yeah. So finally he looks at me. He's like, do you want to go to the hospital? I'm like, no, I'm scared. And so I hobbled back to my apartment. Oh, okay. I called my mother and I was like, and if you know Trish Walker.
Oh, Trish.
She's a who. So I'm like, hi, mom. And she instantly is like, what's the matter? And I'm like,
I don't moms know.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want you to freak out. She's like, oh God. I'm like, I got hit by a car. And she's like, are you, what's happening? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm at home. Wait, where's the car? And I'm like, I walked home. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So she called my grandparents, and my grandparents were like, baby, we're going to come and pick you up. And so they came and picked me up. They drove me literally, I was going to walk to St. Luke's. And if you know the area where the Chick-fil-A is and where I got hit by the car, the St. Luke's is less than like a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
It's like a less than 10-minute walk.
10
so
minutes.
I was going to hobble. And my grandparents were like, no. So they took me. I got they did like x-rays and MRI. They did the whole shebang. And they're like, you just have like a super spring ankle and knee.
Oh, an ankle and a knee.
Yeah, so I had to wear a brace and walk around. I was on workman's comp. Thanks, Luke's.
Wow. Yeah,
it was because I was on the clock.
Yeah.
I was on the clock.
With your fishbowl.
With my fishbowl.
Dang.
Yeah.
Wow.
So thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, the fishbowl stayed intact, and I'm intact now. I just...
Thank God.
When it rains, my knee seizes up.
You're just you're a little sore. It throbs. Oh, funny. Okay, so do you want to tell everybody what we're talking about today?
Yeah, this one's a good one. This was like our first... We've had a lot of conversations about what we wanted to talk about on the podcast, and then when we both said this name, we were like, Instant yes. And so we're talking about Amy Adams today.
We are talking about Amy Adams.
Our first actress profile.
Yes.
And I'm kind of letting you lead this discussion.
Ooh,
so
I can't
lead me
wait.
To the promised land of Amy Adams.
And the thing is, we do have a running list of people we'll be discussing at one point or another.
Yes.
So I don't know why we landed on Amy Adams. Maybe alphabetical in our minds. It was like, let's just start at the top, you know?
She is a goddess. But I think we were talking about award season.
Right.
And since it's being so funky this year, we had this master plan of like watching all the movies, but half the movies are like $30 to rent. You can't watch them in theaters.
No.
And so we were like, the one movie that we kind of were like, I wonder if it will get any buzz was Hillbilly.
Elegy.
I call it Egress. I don't know why.
Wow.
Hillbilly Elegy. And so she's in that film with Glenn Close.
She is. She is.
And we thought, typically those films are kind of an Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
They fall into like the blind side, Americana, pull yourself up by the bootstrap, which for some reason we love that line.
We do love it.
And so we thought kind of Amy Adams, and then we kind of discussed like how much we love her and how many of those films we've seen and she's incredible in. So,
Well, let's start with some basics about Amy.
Yes. Amy, give me the breakdown.
Amy Lou Adams. How cute is that?
How Americana Pollyanna.
How cute is that?
I love it.
Born in 1974. She was actually born in Italy.
Really?
So, yes. To American parents. So she is part of a military family.
Oh, okay.
Raised in a Mormon family with 7 children.
I
wouldn't
shocking.
Have expected this.
And where was she born in?
She was born in Italy, but was raised in Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
So,
I
mean.
See her as a Colorado girl either.
That's where she says she wants to retire, is Colorado. Phew. I was watching some interviews on like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, all the Jimmys and all the men that host late night. May I just say, if they could let one person speak without interrupting, that would be.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
That would
gosh,
be a delight.
Every time.
I'm not here for you.
No. Sorry. And look at me being one of those men right now.
But it's like, I'm here for the person you're having on the show.
Yeah. And
they
I'm
get
not
5 minutes.
And I'm not interested in you. None of you are that interesting.
No.
Who's your favorite late night host? Segue real quick. But
I really do like The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Oh, God, screw you.
What? Who do you
like? He is so annoying. I like Jimmy Fallon. Although he's a little antsy-pantsy.
He's very antsy.
But I just like that he's so, I don't know.
I like Stephen Colbert, though. I think that's like a pretty classic one.
Colbert is really
the
good.
The one I can't.
Who's a redhead?
Conan O'Brien.
He and was good.
He is not a good interviewer.
Okay.
He can't, he'll be like, and it takes up so much time for him to ask a question.
His
and
openings are good, though.
Yeah, they're okay. I'm just not, I don't.
Not a fan.
I don't really get what people see in him.
It's the redhead.
Maybe. I like Stephen Colbert. I like Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers is good.
They have a calmer energy about them that I enjoy.
Who's the guy with the accent?
That's Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, I like
him. I like him too.
He's good.
He's funny. So anyway, so she's born in Italy, grew up in Colorado. She actually got her start in dance.
Interesting.
So she wanted to be a ballerina. She was taking all these dance classes. And she never went to drama school. She didn't study acting. She actually got her start in dinner theater.
Wow.
So she gets her start at dinner theater in Colorado. And then I guess she's discovered at dinner theater. And this guy is like, hey, why don't you move to Minnesota? We have this dinner theater company and you can move here. And she said, okay.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it's interesting. She had some like, you know, regular teenage jobs like The Gap. And she actually worked at Hooters as a hostess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can spicy. See that, especially when you talk about her first film, which we will.
Yes, we will talk about it. And then she is married to a German gentleman named Darren Legallo, I think is how you say his last name. He's a German actor. And they met, I think, in an acting class. So maybe she has taken acting classes.
Yeah,
but
probably.
But it wasn't like I went to the Tisch School of Arts in New York City like everybody else, right? And they have one child together. So that's kind of her. That's her little base. I mean, that's the basics of her. Of her life. But yeah, so just segueing right into her career. So her first film, 1999, she's in a film called Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Which is my favorite movie. I do. And she's so good in it. And you haven't seen, did you watch it?
I looked for it everywhere. I could not find it. It wasn't even to rent. I couldn't find it.
We'll have to watch it. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it is a fantastic, like campy, late 90s, early 2000s.
Which you love.
Which I love.
Yes.
And I love, I mean, it's an all, I mean, there's some male actors, but it's pretty much an all-female cast. It has Amy Adams. It has Kirsten Dunst, young Kirsten Dunst. It has
Kirstie Alley. Denise Richards. Yeah. Ellen Barkin. And my favorite, Allison Janney.
Yes. And it's just this, like, Minnesota small town. Oh. Like, hiya, oh, would you like
betcha.
Some, yeah, you betcha. Would you like some cheese? I can't even do that kind of accent. And she's actually plays this kind of slutty cheerleader.
Love it.
So, like, her Hooters experience really kind of pays off. But it's interesting to see her in her first film because it's not a huge role, but she's a great actress.
Well, and it's interesting because it didn't really launch her into anything.
No, it didn't.
So you would think that, you know, as an actress, even in a smaller part in a movie like that with really popular actresses, that you would think that it would maybe, you know, spur some offers and such. But she actually hadn't lived in LA yet.
Yeah.
It was filming in Minnesota, which is how she heard about it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that happened. That and it was sense. Apparently Kirstie Alley that was like, hey, you need to move to LA if you really want to. Did you like how I said that? LA. You need to move to LA. So she had some unsuccessful television work that was, you know, a variety of things. And then she landed her first major role in Catch Me If You Can in 2002. And we know that story as the Frank Abagnale Jr. with Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio. Super fun movie.
Yeah.
I really like that movie. And I watched the scenes with her in it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. And she's so young. But she's really good in that. And again, you would think that would launch her into more offers, right? But it was about a year later that she got something.
And what role was that?
So she apparently was, I'm about to quit acting because I'm not getting where I want to be. But then she was in this indie flick called Junebug in 2005, which actually earned her her first Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress. And it shot in 21 days.
Jesus.
Can you imagine?
No.
Yeah. That's quick.
That's so fast.
Yeah, that's super quick. And then in a couple years later, in 2007, she stars in Enchanted. And that's what a lot of people probably first saw her in.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you saw her in?
I mean, the first thing I saw her in, and I was thinking about this, was Enchanted. And you know, who was the kind of billboard on the marquee was, was William Dempsey is the male actor in it?
From Patrick Grey's, Dempsey?
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and so he was like the...
Yes.
But she broke out in that role.
Yeah.
She was incredible in that role.
I guess 300 actresses auditioned for that.
Oh my, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I was reading that it was really her features and like she has this ability to look really wide-eyed and really innocent, and they were like, that's who we want to play Giselle in Enchanted.
She looks like a Disney princess come to life.
She does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the first thing I saw her in, although I didn't know it at the time, was Catch Me If You Can.
Okay, yeah.
That was my...
I've seen clips of it. I haven't seen... Yeah. I'm not a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan, and
I
so...
I know, you weirdo. Oh. So other notable roles she's had since that time, Charlie Wilson's War, Sunshine Cleaning, Doubt. Ugh. She plays Amelia Earhart in Night at the Museum.
Yes, she does.
She's Lois Lane in Man of Steel. And then it really from there starts to get like really dramatic roles. The Fighter, American Hustle, Arrival, Nocturnal Animals, and then she plays Lon Chaney in Vice.
Yes.
And so that's when it really starts to pick up into like these really dramatic, serious roles in these award-winning films. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where that gets going for sure. So with that, I'd like to talk about her nominations.
Okay.
And she's never won.
Which is a travesty.
It is a travesty. But I actually looked up who won all the years that she did.
Oh my gosh, you're committed.
Of course I'm committed.
She was robbed.
Well, some of them she was and some of them she wasn't because okay. There was just some undeniable stuff here. So her first...
Let's do it this
way. Okay.
You say it and then I'll give my hot take.
On who won?
Yeah. And okay. Then I want to hear yours.
Okay. So as I said a little bit before, she was nominated for this role in Junebug
okay.
in 2005. Yeah. And so best supporting actress. And the winner was our friend from The Favorite, Rachel Weisz, for The Constant Gardener.
Oh, Rachel Weisz. Yeah, okay.
Considering like all of the critical acclaim that Constant Gardener got yes. versus an indie flick, like, yeah. you know, that's not super surprising to me. The next one, and she really nomination.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's had quite a lot. So then her next one was best actress in a supporting role for Doubt.
Robbed. Sorry.
So you really like Doubt.
Doubt.
So
is,
why don't you?
Doubt.
Because her fellow cast member Viola Davis was also nominated for that. As was Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep was
yes
for best actress. Did she win that year?
No, she did not.
Rob, first of all, it's a stage play, which, you know what I mean, it can go either way. When you adapt a stage plays to film, it's hard because, like, you know, typically in stage plays, it's just this one scene, one.
Right.
And so how can you expand that out?
Yes.
They did it beautifully. Everybody in that film acted their literal asses off. But to act against Meryl Streep, for both Viola Davis and Amy Adams, to have Meryl Streep in the room with you, and you are literally going toe-to-toe with her, delivering lines and giving the same emotions.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
You
The winner is going to kill you because I have beef with this.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Her role is this, like, demure, kind, sweet-hearted, innocent nun against, like, Meryl Streep, who's playing, like, think about, like, the most evil nun, your traditional, like, Mr. Harvey, you're not paying attention. Like, she is
that. Slaps you with a ruler.
Yes, literally.
Yeah.
She's like 20.
Oh.
But then you have, like, Amy Adams, who, like, just literally just breathes kindness and life in the scene. And it's those big eyes and it's that alabaster skin. And is she literally, I'm not trying to, like, hype up her physical features, like, oh my gosh, they're so amazing. But it's like, it all encompasses
sure.
just this raw emotional performance that, like, Viola Davis was only in it for like 10 minutes and she like fucking went insane in that, like, that one scene. But Amy Adams was in the entire movie and
right.
it's just like consistently good. So tell right. me who.
Okay, this is where I have an issue. So the winner that year was Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, and she was only in it for
She was in the movie for like 20 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
And that bugged the shit out of me.
Was it a good performance though?
It was a good performance. She was the ex-lover to Javier Bardem.
Oh,
it was all very sexy, but it's also incredibly self-indulgent because it's a Woody Allen film.
Oh, okay.
And it has Scarlett Johansson in it.
Oh, fuck that shit. Over.
Who plays Christina.
Burn that bitch. No.
So she wins for that. And I remember, I mean, you know, that was like 2008. So I remember my little sophomore in high school self going, like, watching Woody Allen movies and just being like, oh my God, I can't believe that she won. Because she was not in it. I mean, it's like 45 minutes in and we're like, where is Penelope Cruz?
Which I think it's okay if you're not in a scene for that long. It's just more like, what did you do in the scene? How did you deliver?
I don't know that it was, as groundbreaking to earn that kind of award. So that's when I was not pleased with that one. Our next one is Best Actress in a Supporting Role for The Fighter. I love that film.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it. It's really good. She plays the girlfriend of Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
And like he has like the seven sisters and it's all this like, you know.
Are they like Italian American or Irish American?
They're Irish and they're Lowell.
Of course you love it.
Okay. And you know, they're in Lowell, Massachusetts. Oh, so yes, it's all the things I like, blah, blah. And it was great. And so she was nominated for Best Supporting Role. If you remember that year, Christian Bale won for his role in that. And so the Oscar actually went to her co-star, Melissa Leo, who plays the mother of Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg in the film. So she won for The Fighter, which was great. And she was, her speech was so fun and she was so surprised. And so I can let that one ride.
Right.
Next, we have Best Actress in a Supporting Role for The Master, and that was a 2012 film.
I remember that one, yes. Yep,
and so she lost to, you're going to hate it, she lost to Anne Hathaway for Les Mis.
Oh, my God. God, that movie was so bad.
I love it.
Of course you do.
I know, but I mean, she plays Fantine. She obviously, like, the delicate flower. You know, it was a great performance. She did very well in it. I always find it really interesting when musicals earn those types of awards. I don't know why, but it seems a little,
That one, it's like the singing and talk, like singing live, the whole thing just kind of,
it's
a little jarring. She's
a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she did a good job. It's just like,
I don't know that movie, there were some miscastings in that, I think, that I was, like, my biggest beef was the Russell Crowe casting.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And his singing was not the best, not the worst.
A garbage can on fire.
Okay, well, that's just pessimistic. Okay, and so then the very next year, so she kind of has, like, boom, 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 like, back to back to back. Next year she has Best Actress in a Leading Role. So this is her only time she's been nominated for a leading role, in American Hustle.
She was good in
that. She is so good in that.
I just watched that recently, and that's a good movie. If What's-Her-Name wasn't in it.
Amy Adams wasn't in it?
No.
Who's the other Jennifer one? Lawrence.
Yeah, she wasn't in it.
So Jennifer Lawrence won the Oscar for Supporting Actress that year, which and
she overacts. Oops, hot take.
Controversial but brave.
Yes.
Controversial but brave.
She overacts.
And so Amy Adams, because she's one of the con artists in this film with Christian Bale, right? They have this thing going. And she has this, you know, she has a great British accent in this film. And
wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, I am being serious. It's really good. What do you think it's not?
No, I didn't think it was that good.
Do you ever think an American does a good British accent?
You know, and that's the shame. I think British people do better American accents than Americans.
Well, I'm not denying that. But I thought her British accent was good.
The scenes that I remember, I was just like, why is it fading in and out? And like, I know she's supposed to be a con artist. And so, like, it's her developing this. But it sounded like, oh girl, shh. Accent. And she's like, oh, hello, cheerio.
So that is not even. My
interpretation, my truth.
Okay, your truth. That's fine. But I think that, I mean, because when you first see her on screen in American Hustle, she walks in, she has these, you know, gorgeous auburn hair that's kind of in these so great 70s waves, and she wears these low-cut shirts and dresses, and she looks so good.
Fire. The dancing with her.
And Bradley Cooper, and they're in the bathroom. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty insane.
If you want to see hot sex on a platter.
They don't even have sex. That's the thing.
No, it's just like,
But it's a great.
Sensuality.
Yes, it's fire. For sure. So that year she lost to Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. I can't be mad.
God,
it's Cate Blanchett.
That was a good movie. Cate Blanchett. That's spoiler alert. That might be next for our next
An actress. Oh, Cate Blanchett. There's so much to unpack there. So fantastic. Colin is having a moment
I love
over
her
there.
So much. Cate Blanchett.
So she lost for that. So can't be man.
Yeah.
And then her most recent Academy Award nomination was for Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Vice, where she plays Lon Chaney, and she acts with Christian Bale again. Because he plays Dick Cheney in that movie. And he won,
yeah,
as you may recall. And so she lost that year to Regina King in If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, sorry, girl. You lost to a fighter. That was, yeah, that number one is a good movie.
I love Regina King.
Is probably one of my favorite actresses. So
if I could just indulge for just a hot minute with, yeah, Regina King.
Oh, segue. Let's do it.
Yeah. Her dresses that she wore.
Oh my gosh.
For this award season.
This last
because,
one? Yeah.
Yeah, because you saw people like in their work from home attire, yeah, and like sweatshirts,
oh,
and stuff.
No.
She did Louis Vuitton. She looked so good.
And she always wears like really stark, bright jewel tones against her skin. And her skin is just.
She wore some black dresses with some silver touches.
Yeah.
And it was good.
She's amazing. That's another one we definitely have to.
Oh, like, she's so wonderful.
It's so interesting to see, you know, there's so many actresses who start so young. And I think the history of film, you start your actresses super young.
Right.
And then you phase them out so like late in life, really, like when they're 35, 40.
Right.
And I love to see, especially Regina King, getting her start when she's a little bit older and really getting to her peak right now when she's like
right
in her 40s, getting to her
right,
50s.
Absolutely.
And she's like slaying it.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely.
Sorry, back to Amy Adams.
So back to Amy Adams. My question is, why wasn't she nominated for Arrival?
Oof. That's a good question.
That's my question.
She should, I could.
Because that was awesome.
That was probably one of her best performances.
Yeah. Can I tell you what her actual best performance is? And I know you're going to be mad, but I'm going to say it anyway.
What?
Okay, so in this podcast, we only talk about movies, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I said it last time. I'm going to say it again. Sharp Objects. She and Patricia Clarkson plays her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy Adams plays kind of a similar, well, not a similar character, but a character with similar issues in Hillbilly Elegy. She's an addict. She's, mm-hmm, you know, she's a shitty mom, like that kind of whole, you know, theme there. But in Sharp Objects, she plays a journalist. It goes back to her hometown because there's a very peculiar murder. And then, you know, she's kind of faced with all of these past things and she deals with, I mean, she's drinking like, you know, vodka by the fifth in her car, just so. But that, I mean, if you want to have a television, and it's a limited series on HBO,
yeah,
if you want to have the like final scene, jaw dropping, holy shit moment, that is what you need to watch.
Okay.
I have yet to find something as good as that and as thrilling as that.
Really,
I thought that The Undoing with Nicole Kidman would give me some of that. Not even close.
No, my mom said The Undoing.
Not even close.
Like, oh, wow.
It fell a little flat for me.
The Undoing did?
Yeah, but maybe that's because the new standard is Sharp Objects.
Oh.
Yeah, I said
trend
it.
Trend alert.
I mean, it came out like 4 years ago. But so I just think that's interesting. She wasn't nominated for Arrival. And it was so good.
I think it's because the foundation of Arrival is a science fiction movie. And science fiction movies don't do as well. Even though it's really, truly like a love story, like a love drama.
Yeah.
Or like more like a mystery.
Well, it is.
Yeah. She was so incredible. And I think she has this ability. There's been a few roles that she's had the ability to play the same character, but at different time frames. But carry so many of like the traits and the knowledge into the next character.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And
yeah,
so like with Arrival in particular, like she's playing, you know, there's scenes when, I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
It's been a minute,
okay,
so you can't.
There's scenes in the past, there's scenes in the future, there's scenes in the present. So you don't ever know where you are. But she always keeps, you know what I mean? Even though the knowledge of what's happening is always in the future, is always with her. She always keeps like this like mystery or this sense of like, I don't know what it is. Je ne sais quoi. I don't know.
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. And like, I really love, you know what I mean? Maybe we can talk about like what makes Amy Adams so special as an actress.
Yeah.
There's a scene in Nocturnal Animals. Did you watch it?
Yeah. I watched it when it came out. So.
Oh, so it's okay.
It's been a
weird.
Second. It is
weird
fucking weird.
Movie.
Yeah.
Some scenes were super unnecessary.
Okay. Controversial, but brave.
Yes. You can definitely tell Tom Ford directed it because it's heavily stylized.
Sure.
Looks like two, I mean, it could be a commercial.
Yeah.
Like a fashion commercial.
Right.
But she was really good. And it's this, in the line, Jake Gyllenhaal, which I didn't know I was a fan of, and now I am, because he's so good in that performance.
He's so good in everything, but sure.
Okay. And so there's a line where he, like, looks at her when they, like, first go to dinner after, you know, they're reunited in New York, and he's like, you have sad eyes, and your mom, you have your mom's, like, you have sad eyes. And really, honestly, like, yes, it was about that character, but that's something that I feel like Amy Adams has. She has this, like, sense of sadness that she exhibits in a lot of her characters. I think of like Arrival. I think about In Doubt. There's always this like sadness, but also this kind of levity and this lightness, this kind of pureness. That
it's so human.
Yeah. And she plays all her characters so human. It's not method where she's like delving deep and like disappearing, but she really brings the humanity to it. When she cries, she's crying.
Right.
It's not this like fake acting. When she's laughed, just this gorgeous laugh, and she's actually laughing in the scene. She's not acting.
I would so agree with that. And I think because, so I'm just thinking back to American Hustle. Mm-hmm. When she's a con artist in this movie, but yeah, the sad eyes, because there are some scenes in that where it's the scene that I'm thinking of is she's like, okay, I'm going to tell Bradley Cooper, like, I'm not this, you know, British person persona that I've created for myself to trick people. My name is Sydney and I'm from, you know, wherever. And
hi, my name's Sydney and I'm from Britain.
No.
Cheerio.
Sydney is her.
I love Meghan Markle.
Stop it. Sydney is her real name. And so she's like admitting like, okay, like, do you like, she tests him, right? Cause he says, I love you. And she's like, okay, if you really do. So I'm going to bare my soul here and tell you who I really am. And you can see this like fear and the insecurity in her eyes when she does it. And it's mesmerizing and it's so, so human. So that's, that when you say that, that's what I think about is her in that scene particular. So my question for you, being such a, comic book, you know, person, and I almost said nerd, even though being a nerd is super awesome.
I wouldn't say I'm a nerd. I'm a fan.
Okay. Fan. So you're a fan of comic books. Yeah. I know you're more Marvel than DC kind of person.
Yeah.
But what do you think of her as Lois Lane in Man of Steel?
You know, you can't blame her for her. Those movies are terrible. I mean, I wouldn't say terrible, but they're probably not. They're terrible. And so, and so you can't blame her for some of her performances because it's just like, I think it was poorly written. It wasn't fully conceptualized. I think she does it. The thing about Amy Adams, she's always going to give you a solid performance.
Right.
It may not be the best. Right. A lot of times you can blame the peripherals.
Okay.
She always commands a space. I think her chemistry of Harvey, what's his last name?
Cavanaugh. Henry Cavill.
Oh my gosh, I can't say anyone's
name. Wow.
Henry Cavanelli.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gadot Gadot.
I'm like turning into my dad the older I get. That's so strange.
Ken.
But the chemistry, I think they had some decent chemistry.
Okay.
Yeah, it was decent chemistry.
All right.
I think it was good. I think it was a fine performance. It was a fine performance.
It was fun. But it's not, you know, she wasn't. Was she the best part about the movies, would you say?
No. I think the best part of the movie was
when it was over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When the post credits went up.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I think that she does always command a space. And even if the space, like you said, with doubt is one of like not of power and assertiveness, but of kindness and compassion, she still captures that. She still captures the audience with that character choice that she makes for each of her films. Certainly.
What? Because it seems, I mean, you can't say like she plays every role is the same.
No, not at all.
But I think you can argue that she definitely occupies certain like lanes, right? What is a role or a type of character you haven't seen her play that you would just love to see her do? See if she can actually kind of pull it off.
I haven't seen her. She chooses characters that have very storied pasts, that have baggage. Yes. She's not afraid to look.
Complicated emotional.
Yes, but she's also not afraid to look bad. No. In The Fighter, she isn't the belle of the ball.
Hillbilly Elegy.
She's not the belle of the ball. sharp objects, same thing.
Rough Appalachian.
But, well, you have these actresses that are supposed to look like look ugly or look rough or something like that, and it just misses a lot.
Yeah, it's overly done where she just looks like a real woman
who
hasn't slept, who's tired, who's dealing with emotion.
Absolutely. So I appreciate that about her. As far as roles that I have not seen her do, I haven't seen her play the bitch.
Oh my gosh, exactly what I...
Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah, I haven't seen her play like a villain.
Well, okay, so I'm thinking, okay, out of the... So here's a funny story. So I told Seth, that my fiancé, that, okay, I need to do some Amy Adams research, you know, this last week and a half or so. And I said, so you can pick the movie as long as it has Amy Adams in it. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, let's watch Talladega Nights. Which she is in, technically. She plays Will Ferrell's assistant. And they fall in love at the end. Yes. And it's kind of like, you know, she was like,
I forgot she
like
was
nerdy
in the movie.
And had glasses. And then she was all like cute at the end. And so I was like, okay, fair play. Like that's, you know, that technically is. But, you know, she's not a comedic actress. And so I'm not craving that for her. I'm not craving a comedy from her. I am interested to see a malicious character. I'm interested in seeing a bitch.
Yeah. Because she has ability to be so emotional and broken. And like we said, like you can see it behind her eyes. I think the perfect thing is like you can read the story behind her eyes. She's projecting it with her emotions, her face, her eyes. I haven't seen her like take that sadness and turn it into like rage and anger.
Okay.
And like, I would love to see her be a severe, which we know is
we love a severe woman.
I would love to see her just to be a severe woman.
I will say the closest that she's gotten so far is playing Lynn Cheney. And I only say that because it wasn't flattering. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so of that family. And, you know, depending on who you are and where you fall on the political spectrum, you could look at that movie and say, like, you know,
it's a mockery.
Or you can slander. Say, it's dead on. Like, that's how she is. So it just kind of depends on your opinion of that family and that family's politics as well. So, but I would say that's the closest that she's gotten because there's a very particular scene in the movie where Allison Pill plays. So Lily, I think it's Rab, R-A-B-E. That plays Liz Cheney in the movie. So she plays the person that then, of course, in real life is, you know, a congresswoman from Wyoming.
Yeah.
And then the other daughter, who is a lesbian, is played by Allison Pill. And so there's a scene in the movie where, I can't remember that daughter's name, but Allison Pill's character gets in a car accident. She's really upset. And so Dick Cheney and Lynn Cheney, played by Christian Bale and Amy Adams, are at the hospital. And they're like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Like, why are you driving like that kind of a thing? And so then it's kind of discovered that, oh, you're not friends with this girl anymore. But really, OK, that was a breakup. You're in a romantic relationship with. So then it's realized, OK, my daughter's a lesbian. And so in the scene, you can see the mother, Lynn Cheney, played by Amy Adams, going like, oh, shit. Like, what are we going to do? Sort of a thing. But then you see Dick Cheney, played by Christian Bale. You see him being a really comforting father and saying, like, I love you. Right?
Right.
But then we know that, you know, that did not turn out very well.
No.
And so, but anyway, that's another story. But then you kind of see her being not motherly, but like not very, not supportive necessarily, not just embracing her daughter as who she is. You see that coming from Christian Bale's character, who's really the villain in the story, right? As Dick Cheney. So that's the closest that I think she's gotten to that kind. But I want to see some rage.
Right.
I'd love to see some wrath. And I think that's coming. She has a long career ahead of her.
Yeah, that's the awesome part. It's like she's going to be acting for like... She's going to be like a Meryl, I think. Like, she hasn't gotten her dues, which is sad. I think Meryl started a little bit younger as far as Academy Award winning, you know, award season. But I think she has longevity for sure.
Yeah.
I would love to see her play a bitch. I like when she does comedic roles. I think she was great in Talladega Nights. She deserved an Oscar for that role.
Oh, my God.
She was great in Enchanted.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think people go like, oh, it's super easy to play like a Disney film. And I'm like,
I don't know though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's always true. What other comedies has she been? She's been in,
I don't know. I really have focused so much more on her more recent work.
Right.
That's been mostly, you know, really dramatic films.
Yeah. And it's definitely, she's definitely done more dramatic films.
But yeah, I mean, she said on whatever, in Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was, that she got her start when she was 30. You know, her start, right? Yeah. And
her first breakout.
Yeah. And so, but it is interesting that it took her longer. And the offers weren't pouring in after big films like Catch Me If You Can.
I can't believe we haven't talked about like my favorite. I've lied. She's amazing in Doubt, but one of my favorite films.
Oh no,
that she wasn't in.
What?
That also stars Meryl Streep.
Yes,
Julia.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, do you love that film?
I do like it. Yes, I do like it.
One of my favorite like rom com kind.
It's very. It's a great. It's very sweet.
So good.
They never act together in the movie though, which is so interesting.
Yeah.
So don't. She's in it with Meryl Streep, but they're not acting together.
She was so good in that movie.
Yeah. One of my favorites is Sunshine Cleaning.
But yeah.
She's in that with Emily Blunt. Mm-hmm. And I think that movie, it was quirky. It was kind of dark comedy, right? They're cleaning up after like pretty traumatic events. And so the premise of the film is like, it's her and Emily Blunt, and they're cleaning up after like crime scenes and stuff like that. And that's kind of the business that they're in, or they start. Gosh, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's really funny, but it's also kind of sad
dark.
And you know, it's dark, but, that's probably the, if it was classified as a comedy, that would be my favorite one that she's in.
So what's next for her?
Well, you know what we didn't do?
Oh no. What?
We didn't say what we were watching at the beginning of the episode.
Oh gosh.
Shame on us. What are you watching? Let's take a pause from Amy Adams. We love you, Amy Adams. Colin. What are you watching?
Oh, I don't want to say because it would kill me.
Because it's Vampire Diaries?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Here's my question for you.
How
does someone who binges that, and no judgment from me.
You're judging.
Well, all right. And what? Because you said you're on like a 24-hour binge schedule, yes?
Mm-hmm.
How are you not done yet, I guess is my question.
Okay, so life update. I have 3 more episodes left. Until I'm done.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is really big for you.
3 more, and it's getting wacko in there. So I'm ready to kind of wrap it up.
You've put in so much work.
Yes.
You know, you're almost there.
Yes.
So I get that.
I finished that. I did WandaVision.
Oh, you did finish WandaVision.
Yes, it was
good.
Excellent. Elizabeth Olsen is an incredible actress.
Great.
Didn't end how most fans thought it was going to, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And then as far as movies, I just watched a bunch of Avian Adams.
Yeah, basically.
What about you? What are you watching?
When Seth gets home, we like to watch something like funny and something we don't really have to pay attention to. And we got in the Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, mm-hmm. Parks and Rec kind of loop. And then we started watching You're the Worst on Hulu. And it's funny, but the characters really are the worst. And so after 3 episodes, I feel a little icky and I have to change it to something else. But something that I watched yesterday, and we can talk about it if you want. I did watch the Oprah special with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Oh, I only watched clips.
I watched the whole hour and a half.
Was it good?
It was really good. It was sad. I think people might watch it and are expecting for them to like dish. Like, who in the royal family is just, like, a piece of shit, right?
Right, but then you remember it's family.
But they don't do that. Yeah. Like, there's some real concerns, and there's some real, there's a lot of hurt there, and I think that there's a lot of things that happen that you hear, and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe someone asked that.
Yeah.
You know, but then they don't say who said it, and they said, you know, I'm never going to talk about that because it would ruin this person, but also, like, I think that's how you know it's genuine a lot of the time, is that they're not there to make disparaging remarks about people. They could.
Right.
If they wanted to,
mm-hmm.
they could. But it was interesting. I didn't really follow a lot of that story. I had heard some things just, yeah. you know, here and there. I think it was just kind of, it was sad, you know, it's no one wanted, they didn't want it to be that way. But
gosh, I can't wait to see this on The Crown.
I feel like
season 9 of The Crown.
Such an adult woman watching a full Oprah special.
Isn't it so weird?
Yes.
Because
I am hooked.
And like you grew up on Oprah. Like for me, Oprah was always in the background. And so now that I'm an adult and watching it, I'm like, damn, you still got it.
Yeah. Well, she has a really good way of, I don't want to call it prying, but it is.
Yeah.
But she does it in a really non-invasive way. And when someone says, like, I'm not going to talk about that, she backs off.
Yeah.
And it's not that kind of constant, like, you know, poke, 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 poke until you get the answer you want. So I do appreciate that about it.
I love Oprah.
So anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Back to Amy Adams. Super good.
Back to Amy Adams. So what's next for Amy Adams? She is in Zack Snyder's Justice League, which we have talked about. It's out.
Oh, I need to watch it maybe this weekend. 4 hours.
It's 4 hours. No, it's not out yet. It releases on the 18th.
Oh, the 18th, but it leaked. That's right.
Oh, did it?
It leaked.
Tell me more. I don't know.
Recently, it leaked on, like, on somewhere online, and people were watching a little bit of it. I think it had a leak on HBO or something like that.
Oh, I wonder how that happens.
I don't know.
You always think it's like a disgruntled employee. Or maybe someone just hit the wrong button.
I wanted Pizza Friday. Screw you. I'm leaking Zack Snyder.
I feel like that's an appropriate response personally. If I didn't get Pizza Fridays, which I don't.
I told you to stop microwaving your fish in the microwave. I'm leaking the
I've done that. Terrible employee. So obviously she plays Lois Lane, yes. right? In the Justice League. And then she is in The Woman in the Window.
That looks so good.
Which looks real good. This is the kind of character that I expect from her and that I know that she will deliver.
Right, because isn't she like this, like she's either medicated or she's having like a psychotic.
She's agoraphobic.
Yes, okay. Yep. And so she's like freaking out. It's kind of an Alfred
Hitchcock. She starts spying on her neighbors.
Yeah, kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock, The Rear Window kind of.
Well, and then she's creepy and she's, yeah. you know, I haven't left my house in who knows how long. And then she witnesses a like violent event.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, shit, what do I do?
Yeah.
So she's in that, which is again, what I would expect from her. And I know she's going to just nail it. She's going to deliver. Yeah. Absolutely. And then she is in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, they're adapting yes. it into a
yes, yes
a film. Okay,
so it's the film adaptation of the Tony Award winning.
Is it still
production.
A musical or?
I believe so.
Oh God, let's see how that goes.
Okay, you're not a musical.
I am a musical.
Well,
I am. I'm just very like not all of them translate really well into film.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, there's probably more that don't do well than do.
Okay, what's one that has been successful for you? I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. Has there been one that
No,
you're
we
like,
can't say it. We're not going to say it.
Why?
Because it's the next episode.
Okay, fine.
We're going to say that for the next episode.
Okay. I get really swept up in, here's one, Cats. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. We both love Cats.
No. Well, it was so bad.
Yeah.
But when I watch a musical, I get really caught up in like, the whimsicalness of it.
Do you think this is gonna have whimsy?
No. But I'm just saying it doesn't. I don't really care what the story is. If people are singing, and it could be anything from God. Rent. Shut up.
Oh God.
I don't care. It has Taye Diggs in it. What's your issue?
Oh God. We'll have a whole freaking segment about that.
About Rent? I hope so. Can't wait to tell you how much I love it.
Oh, God. Anyway, Amy Adams.
You silly goose. Yeah, so that's what we can see her in.
And this, Disenchanted, right?
Yes. That's in the works. I believe I want to say there's like a director attached and everything. Let's see. The Disenchanted. So it takes place 10 years after.
Okay.
The Happily Ever After. And it is pre-production right now.
Oh, nice.
So we're not quite there yet.
That would
but
be a good one.
That'll be a good one. I agree. I think it'll be fun. So here's some trivia and anecdotes that I think are
a few closing.
Well, and I don't even know if it's like that, like groundbreaking, but I want to talk about it anyway. These are all just so foofy. So her brother, one of her seven, I don't know if she's one of seven or if there are seven siblings, but one of them works for TMZ.
Oh, wow.
So it's so, and it, in my mind, like, you have to be kind of shitty to work for TMZ.
Or am you have I wrong commitment to the truth being spread.
That's such a, not even, I get
all my news sources from
shut up, no you
TMZ.
Don't.
Thank you, TMZ.
Thank you for sponsoring us.
Thanks, TMZ. That's hot.
But isn't that crazy that like you have like an award? I just think that's like two opposite ends of the entertainment business right there. Is you have this wonderful, talented.
Oh my gosh, you don't know. Maybe he's like the accountant at TMZ. Why do you have to think of the word?
I think he's a photographer that puts the camera in Rihanna's face is who I think
Rihanna,
is.
Rihanna, say yeah, cheese.
Yeah. And God, I can't believe anybody would have the audacity to say that to her.
Wow.
But anyway, so that's, I guess you could say entertainment's a family business.
Sure.
You sure could. She loves karaoke.
I can see that.
She said on one of the Jimmy shows, I think it was Fallon. See how much I don't care about them. I think, oh, never mind. They can be okay. But she loves karaoke and she has like a room in her house set up for.
She has a karaoke room.
Yes.
How cute.
Like she's into it.
I love it.
What's your karaoke song?
Rihanna, Shut Up and Drive.
Wow. That's a fast-paced one. I've only done karaoke once, and I'm really embarrassed to tell you what it is. But I will anyway. Do you want to guess? I'll give you one guess, and then put everybody out of their misery.
Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh my gosh, no, but that probably would have been better.
That would be mine.
By the way, may I just say to our listeners, I realize how much I said the word absolutely.
Absolutely.
In our second episode. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a character flaw and it's never going to go away.
It. Oh my God.
I just think you should make it a drinking game.
Ooh, yeah. But we should do that sometime.
Yeah, every
I should do that.
Yeah, every time you say, every time I say absolutely or certainly, which.
So certainly. Oh, yeah. That's
I say
words.
That one a lot. I don't know why. I think it's because I really do like to shut up.
I am not your therapist.
I really do like to like actively listen. Like, and I want people to know that I'm listening to them. And the way I do that is by like verbal affirmations.
Absolutely.
Shut up. Okay.
Certainly.
Anyway, my first karaoke song was TikTok by Kesha.
Oh my God.
And I was pretty intoxicated. I was studying abroad in Norway, and my friend from Germany sang it with me.
You're just like on the stage, TikTok on the clock, gonna make my body rock.
That's not how it goes.
I'm a foreigner. Woo!
Everybody loved it, may I just say.
I'm absolutely.
Everybody loved it. Oh, God.
Certainly.
You're the worst. And so that was my first and only experience with karaoke so far. I'm not sure what I would... You know that asshole that always picks Bohemian Rhapsody and makes everybody listen for 8.5 minutes while they... No, that's not me. What would you do?
For a karaoke song? Probably something Beyonce.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That's just a tall order is all I'm saying.
Give me one more factoid.
Okay. Her favorite movies, Amy Adams' favorite movies include... Ooh, okay. She likes The Shawshank Redemption.
Classic.
Who doesn't? Gone with the Wind, classic.
Questionable.
Okay. The Wizard of Oz.
Classic.
I love Wizard of Oz. Casablanca.
Classic.
And one of my favorites, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Ooh.
A great Coen Brothers movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are her faves. And the actresses that she looks up to.
Oh, okay, yes.
Kate Winslet.
Oh, yes.
Kate Blanchett.
She loves a Kate.
We love a Kate. And then this woman named Samantha Morton, I looked her up on IMDb, and it was, I think, more indie stuff.
Okay.
She was in The Walking Dead more recently, okay. In one of the more recent seasons. So that's who she says that she looks up to. And these are all just from interviews. She is often mistaken for Isla Fisher.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They look
Look eerily similar. And as you know, Isla Fisher, she's like in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
She's married to Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, I didn't know they were married.
Oh yeah. Oh, weird. And they have BBs and everything.
BBs.
And I read this today and I thought it was so funny that, like, you know, they're like jokey family, you know. So they took a family Christmas card and they replaced Isla Fisher's face with Amy Adams' face and sent it out. And I guess no one noticed.
That's hilarious.
Which is pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
But they do look awfully similar. And I bet they just own it by now.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I'll sign an autograph as Isla Fisher like or Amy Adams.
Oh, it's like Natalie Portman and Keira Knightley.
Or, Katy Perry and the other person.
Zoe Chanel.
Thank you. Travis says Zoe Deschanel.
Zoe Deschanel.
Like, Deschanel.
Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I've met her. She might correct me.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it's like the big blue eyes and the dark hair and everything.
Dark auburn.
So yeah, that's basically that. Oh, and she was the 10th highest paid actress in 2017.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I wonder who was the highest.
Meryl Streep.
You think so?
Yeah. Next episode, we should.
Ooh, Google, reveal.
Yeah, reveal who was the
highest. Send us who you think it is.
Yeah.
Or you just Google it. And lastly, she is best pals with her Sunshine Cleaning co-star, Emily Blunt.
Oh, they would be like a good buddy team.
I would love to be friends with Emily Blunt.
That would be Emily Blunt.
My God.
Yeah.
She sounds awesome.
She seems very approachable, but she's also very beautiful.
She's very beautiful. Yes. She's very beautiful. So really, I mean, those are some trivia and anecdotes. So next time you're, you know, at the Flying M Trivia or Pay It Brewing Trivia. And there's an Amy Adams question.
Yeah, because that happens all the time, right?
It does, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I almost said it.
Absolutely.
I got it.
On that note,
okay.
We say farewell.
Adieu. So that's Amy Adams. And if you have a particular actress that you would like Colin and I to do an episode on, you know, go ahead and shoot us a note. And we will add it to our ever-running list of people that we want to cover.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to whoever is giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
It's more than one?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's so very nice.
Thank you.
So thank you so much.
Thank you very absolutely, certainly. Thank you.
I'm about to drop kick you out of this studio.
Oh, my gosh.
But thanks for listening, and we look forward to doing more episodes, and stay tuned for our next episode where we, as in Colin and Aaron, talk about all of our favorite things.
Bye.
Bye. Let's Hear It for the Girls is brought to you by Coffee and Supply Co. Looking for a new coffee experience? Try Coffee and Supply Co. located in Eagle, Idaho. It's family owned and features a pour over bar, a unique bites menu, including vegan and gluten-free options, all locally sourced. Mention Speak Boise and receive 10% off any food and beverage. Visit www.coffeeandsupplyco.com or follow them at Coffee and Supply Co.
Aaron, my skin is terrible. What should I do?
Colin, you should make an appointment at Soul Ease. Soul Ease, a personal spa and lifestyle boutique. At Soul Ease, you will enter into a relaxing environment. You can rest in mind, body, and soul with a day spa experience. Discover world-class skincare treatments using French and Hungarian techniques, organic and natural skincare, along with modern technologies.
Jesus.
Whether you are visiting us for one session or multiple times, you'll probably meet multiple times.
Oh my God.
Here will be a personal spa experience to relax and recharge your soul. Soul Ease is conveniently located near downtown Boise in the north end on North 28th Street, right across the street from Lowell Elementary School. Follow them on Instagram and at soul_ease_Boise, Facebook at Soul Ease, and check out their website at www.soul-ease.com or call 208-994-1480 to reserve your next appointment.
Thanks, Aaron.
Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Talu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of business growth. Find out more at talloo.com. Hi, this is Aaron.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to Let's Hear It for the Girls. It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoy learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening.